If you have your Bibles today, if you want to open to 1 Samuel chapter 11, I'm going to bring you through this kind of quickly, chapter 11 and 12. Historically, generally speaking, can somebody get me a water, please? Thank you. Yeah, I know. Historically, generally speaking, I think it's a fair assumption to say the human race has a short memory when it comes to some things, not when it comes to others. And here's what I mean by that. We seem to have a short memory, thank you, when it comes to God and his blessings and how God works. But we don't seem to have as short a memory as when something bad happens to us or some of the things that our sinful nature kind of craves. Hold on for one second. Excuse me. The reason why I say that is that so many times we have forgotten the lessons of the Bible and neglected the lessons of the Bible. And we seem to be sometimes no different as the people of God than the world is. We can see God's blessings. We can see him do many things. And then the next day be distracted by other things. Has that ever happened to you?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Many of us know the history of God's grace and miracles in our lives and in the Bibles, yet we seem to forget fast and revert back to selfish old patterns. 2001, after the attack on 9/11, we saw people flock to churches, and about 6 weeks after that, it was back to normal. It was back to normal. We have to recognize there's two issues. First, we battle sin, and the sin nature still wants to glorify ourselves without regard for God's will. Second, we're quicker to believe a lie than to trust the truth of God. Both issues have their roots in our sinful selfishness, pride, and ego. And so, as we enter this passage today, I think God shows us the importance of how important it is for all of us to continually let him revive us and renew us. Now, that term revive, we have some medical people here today. That term revive implies that you were alive at one time, correct? Mm-hmm. You can't revive a dead corpse. You are alive at one time. So some of us know that at certain times, the flame starts to go out, right? If I can use that, and it's got to be fanned back in. So revival is that flame being fanned again, and renewal means that we're renewing our commitment to serve and trust God. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So I want to go through this with you. And I'm just going to kind of gloss over chapter 11 because I want to focus on chapter 12. Nahash, the Amorite, went up to and besieged Jabesh Gilead. By the way, in the Hebrew, if I remember correctly, Nahash means snake. Okay? So this can't be a good guy. All right? He was an Ammonite. Ammonites were enemies of the Israelites. They went to the Jews, to Gilead, to besiege them. And he said to them, I want to make a treaty with you. Make a treaty with us, and we will be subject to you. This is the Jebusites talking, okay? But Nahash, the Amorite, replied, I will make a treaty with you only on the condition that I gouge out, get this, gouge out the right eye of every one of you, so bring disgrace to Israel. Kind of gross, right? I'm sorry to do this before lunch, okay? But what was happening here was that Nahash is a shrewd cookie, thought by gouging out the eye of every one of the Israelites, they could never put a military army together again. They would just be too weak. Okay? The elders of Jabesh said to him, give us 7 days so we can send a messengers throughout Israel. If no one comes to rescue us, we will surrender to you. When the messengers came to Gibeah of Saul and reported these terms to people, they all wept aloud. Just then, Saul was returning from the fields behind his oxen and asked, what is wrong with everyone? Why are they weeping? Then they repeated to him what the men of Jabesh said. When Saul heard their words, the Spirit of God came powerfully upon him. This is King Saul now. And he burned with anger. He took a pair of oxen, cut them into pieces, and sent the pieces by messenger throughout Israel, proclaiming, this is what will be done to the oxen of anyone who does not follow Saul and Samuel, the judge and prophet. Then the terror of the Lord fell on the people, and they came together as one. When Saul mustered them at Bezek, in other words, Saul was now gathering all the men together for battle, the men of Israel numbered 3,000 and those of Judah 30,000. They told the messengers who come, say to the men of Jabesh Gilead, by the time the sun is hot tomorrow, you will be rescued. Oops, sorry. When the messengers went and reported this to Jabesh, they were elated. They said to the Amorites, tomorrow we will surrender to you, and you can do with us whatever you want. They were kind of setting a trap, you see. The next day, Saul separated his men into three divisions. During the last watch of the night, they broke up into the camp of the Amorites and slaughtered them until the heat of the day. Those who survived scattered so that no two of them were left together. Then the people Then the people said to Samuel, who was it that asked Saul shall reign over us? Turn these men over to us so that we may put them to death. But Saul said, no one will be put to death today, for this day the Lord has what? Rescued Israel. Okay. So I'm going to go ahead to chapter 12. This is early in Saul's kingship, and God gives Israel the victory, a great victory, against a mighty army. But Samuel the prophet, the judge, knows that after all his 90-something years, that people forget fast. And so, this is Samuel's farewell speech. He knew this would be the last time he was going to speak to the nation. And he says this, I have listened to everything you said to me. You have set a king over you. Now, you have your king as a leader. As for me, I am old and gray, and my sons are here with you. I have been your leader from my youth until this day. Here I stand. Testify against me in the presence of the Lord and his anointed, whose ox I have taken, whose donkey I have taken, whom have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed? For whose hands have I accepted a bribe or make me shut my eyes? If I have done any of these things, I will make it right. People responded, you have not cheated or oppressed us. You have not taken anything from anyone's hand. So Saul is kind of standing before the people and said, look, this is my goodbye speech, but I stand with you on a reputation of integrity. Integrity. It's a lost word today. Integrity. What Samuel is trying to do with his people here is to have his people recognize and remember God's grace. In God's grace, he gave him a victory. And he's going to talk about some more victories in a minute, but in God's grace, he gave him a victory. If we don't remember God's grace, his holiness, his love, his provision for us, and his victories, then we are going to let the flame die down, and we're going to grow cold. remembering God's grace. One of the reasons why we remember the fallen today is because we never want to forget. We forget too quickly. We want to say we're thankful for those who have defended us. Realize this, those who defended us most times don't even know who we are, correct? And they still defend us. God's grace is incredible. Once we start to forget God's grace, the flame is going out. Look how this develops. Samuel said to them, "The Lord is witness against you, and also his anointed is witness this day that you have not found anything in my hand." He is witness, the people said. Then Samuel said to the people, "It is the Lord who appointed Moses and Aaron and brought you your ancestors up out of Egypt. Now then, stand there, because I am going to confront you with evidence before the Lord as to all the righteous acts performed by the Lord for you and your ancestors." And then he recaps some history. After Jacob entered Egypt, they cried out to the Lord for help. And the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, who brought your ancestors out of Egypt, out of slavery, and settled them in this place. But look at verse 9. "But they forgot the Lord their God. And so he sold them into the hands of Sisera, the commander of the army, Hazor, and into the hands of the Philistines and to the king of Moab, and fought against them." That great deliverance, and then they forgot. Right? It's a theme. They cried out to the Lord. They said, "We have sinned. We have forsaken the Lord and have served Baals and Asherahs. But now deliver us from the hands of your enemies, and we will serve you." This is in the time of Judges, by the way. Then the Lord said, Jerubbaal, Barak, Jephthah, and Samuel, "And he delivered you from your hands and from your enemies all around you, so that you lived in safety. But when you saw Nahash, the snake, the king of the Amorites, who was moving against you, you said to me, 'No, we want a king to rule over us,' even though the Lord your God was your king." Remember that? We want to be like other people. He says, "Now here is your king. Here's the king you have chosen, the one you asked for. See, the Lord has set a king over you." Then look at verse 14. "If you fear the Lord and serve and obey him and do not rebel against his commands, if both you and the king who reigns over you follow the Lord your God, good," with an exclamation point. You know what this is saying? Don't forget. Don't forget what God has done for you. This applies to us too, people. It's not just to the nation of Israel. If you fear the Lord, that means if you respect him, if you revere him, and you serve him out of a heart of gratitude and compassion for his grace, and you obey him out of that same heart, and do not rebel against his commands, that's good. It's a good thing. Then he goes to say, "But if you do not obey the Lord and you rebel against his commands, his hand will be against you as it was against your ancestor. Now then, stand still and see the great thing God is about to do before your eyes." I'll get there in a minute. The second thing besides remembering God's character and God's grace that you and I need to do in order to fan the flame of revival and renewal in our hearts is we need to, with the help of the Holy Spirit, submit to God and trust him. Submit to God and trust him. Do any of us have a problem doing that? Nobody? Submit. Submit to God and trust him. We all have a problem with that. Some more than others, but we all have a problem with that. Submit to God and trust him. Well, what does that exactly mean? That means that we need to spend time with him. That means we need to hear his word. We need to be talking to him in prayer. We need to be letting the Spirit of God take that word and change us from the inside out. Let him renew us from the inside out. Let him revive us from the inside out. Let him give us strength to do his will. And excuse me. And let him help us to live with integrity. Integrity. I don't know about you, but I need God's help to do that. Remember his grace, his character, and submit to him and trust him. There's an old song, old hymn. I don't even know who wrote it or when it was written. But it's a song called Trust and Obey, right? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And it's the same concept here. Let me close this out with you. Here's the sign that Samuel's setting up under the direction of the Lord. He says in verse 17, is it not wheat harvest now? I will call on the Lord to send thunder and rain, and you will realize that when what an evil thing you did in the eyes of the Lord when you asked for a king. Then Samuel called out to the Lord that same day. The Lord sent thunder and rain. So all the people stood in awe of the Lord and Samuel. Wow. How many times have we seen answered prayer? How many times do we forget? The people said to Samuel, pray to the Lord your God for your servants, so that we will not die, for we have added to all our sins and evil by asking for a king. Huh. Don't be afraid, Samuel replied. You have done all this evil, yet do not turn away from the Lord. Here's the Lord's grace again, right? Hey, you've confessed. Now, it's not the end. Don't turn away from the Lord now, but serve him. How? Say it like you're alive. With all your heart. Do not turn away from useless idols. They can do you no good, nor can they rescue you, because they are useless. For the sake of his great name, the Lord will not reject his people, because the Lord was pleased to make you his own. As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. How do you like that, huh? We sin against the Lord when we stop praying for others. And I will teach you the way that is good and right. But be sure to revere, fear the Lord, and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. Has God done great things for you?
Amen. Yes.
Yet if you persist in doing evil, both you and your king will perish. The last thing I want to touch on with you is this. You and I need to pray for a spiritual awakening in our church and in our country. God help us if we don't. We need to pray. It's easy to point fingers out there, right? It's easy to say, look at the world, they're a mess. Well, you were part of it once, so was I, okay? It's easy to say, oh, look at the stupid things they're doing. That's the easy part. The harder part is to love and pray for your enemy. That's the harder part. Spiritual awakening and revival and renewal should start in the heart of every believer. Just start in the heart of every believer. It can't go anywhere if it doesn't. From there, it should overflow into the church. And from the church, it should overflow into our communities. Emily, I got a favor to ask. Can you bring me back to the call to worship? This is from 2 Chronicles 7:14. We read this before. Some of you might say this just applies to the Hebrews. Well, that was the immediate context, but I think it applies to all of God's people. This is being addressed to God's people, not to the world, but God's people. And it says, if my people who are called by my name will what?
Humble themselves
and seek my face and turn, that's repentance, from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and will what?
Heal their land.
Does our country need healing?
Amen.
Our church needs healing. But especially our country. Each Christ follower, each church, and our country have experienced many blessings from God. These blessings are from His hand of grace. Will we learn not to have short memories or short commitments when it comes to loving and serving God? Will we permit ourselves to have times of revival and renewal? Let me, retreats are a good thing. So I just want to say that up front. If you can get away for a retreat, that's fine. But you don't have to go 100 miles away. If you can do it, that's great. But you don't have to go 100 miles away. I think one of the biggest problems you and I have is we don't make the time to be with God so that every day we can be renewed and revived. Because we need it every day. Joshua said it this way. Choose you who you will serve today, this day. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. He says, we go on, will we permit ourselves to have times of revival and renewal? Will we pray that God sends revival to His people, our churches, and a spiritual awakening to our country? God bless America. We should change that. It's time America start blessing God. And God is so gracious, He still blesses us in spite of ourselves. And can we recognize that? But our nation needs healing. Our nation needs to regain what the sanctity of life means. Our nation needs to regain the value of life. Our nation has to regain the moral compass that's laid out in the Bible. It's got to start in the church. It's got to start in the church. May God add His blessing to His word. I'm going to ask the praise team to come up.